When you get your ham license and start transmitting, you undoubtedly will have a few stumbles before you pick up all the proper procedures. Hams who persistently refuse to operate, showing courtesy and proficiency, are known as LIDs. Where that originated is anyone's guess.
This chapter goes into many operating procedures and practices. It also covers much of the lingo and a whole host of abbreviations that are commonly used.
One common term bantered about is DX.
DX stands for distant station. Hams who chase DX all the time are called DXers. Not every ham gets the same thrill out of talking to people on the other side of the globe.
Or the other side of the state, if it's VHF or UHF.
For many, the lore of communicating with people in far-off places is the same as putting a plate of honey in front of a bear. Just plain old irresistible. Because there are so many ways to enjoy the hobby, chasing DX being one of many, the FCC amateur bands are even further broken down into voluntary band plans.
These band plans are more of a gentleman's agreement, and they serve to aggregate people of like interests, which helps them find one another.
Portions of a band would be set aside for calling DX stations, while another portion would be set aside for radio teletype operation, or even another for operating through amateur radio satellites in orbit.
The textbook shows the 2-meter band plan on page 4-9, I think.
Yep. One good rule of thumb is to listen before you transmit. This serves many purposes. It allows you to make sure that nobody else will be interfered with when you start transmitting. And if there's a conversation already in progress, it allows you to get the gist of what's being said so that you can join in intelligently and at an appropriate time.
LIDs have a tendency to inject themselves into any conversation at an inappropriate time just to say that they have nothing to say.
Another good reason for listening first is that if you're operating on one of the specialty modes, like RIDI or PSK-31, and you don't hear any other similar stations, perhaps you're not in the section of the band commonly used for these modes, per the band plan mentioned earlier.
Now let's talk about operating procedure. Single sideband operating procedure is a bit different than the FM procedures you'll hear about soon. Single sideband is normally used for weak signal, voice communications. This is the mode that the DXers prefer.
SSB is a very special form of modulation which does not use up very much bandwidth, and is also pretty efficient in the use of power, as every pause in your speech pauses the power transmitted. When you hook a power meter up to the output of your SSB transmitter, the meter will go up and down as you speak. Say nothing and there's no power. It's nice and efficient in that regard. When operating single sideband or any voice mode, it's best to try not to use too many of the abbreviations meant for Morse code use. Sadly, many long-time hams have gotten into bad habits. Not everybody you hear on the radio is a model operator. Try to use plain speech and not too much jargon.
When you say your call sign, you will often need to spell it out phonetically in order for the other station to get it correct. You'd be amazed at how many people can hear your call sign plain as day and still screw it up, sometimes beyond recognition.
And that really is an amazing thing. A phonetic alphabet is a set of standard words that are used to signify the various letters used in your call sign. There are a handful of competing phonetic alphabets, but the one put out by the International Telecommunications Union is the one that all amateurs call standard.
The ITU phonetic alphabet is shown on page 4.2 in the textbook.
So, if I were to give my call sign phonetically, it would be Kilo Foxtrot 8 Kilo Kilo.
And for me, it would be November 7 Lima Mike Juliet.
Now, Mike could also have said November 7 Loudmouth Jerk, which is cute and humorous. But if his signal is weak, it is likely to not be heard as well as the standard phonetics. Not to mention that a foreigner might not be all that familiar with English to understand that jerk begins with the J as opposed to a G.
Once the other guy has your call sign correct, which could take more time than you might think, you no longer should use the phonetics for it.
Outside of the required identifications every 10 minutes and at the end, you don't need to say your call sign every time you begin and finish talking. A simple over to you or over is fine. Your conversation, we call them QSOs, should be carried on just as any other face-to-face or telephone conversation. Just watch your language and remember that it's not private. When you're finished, You can wish the other person a good day by saying 73, the ham abbreviation for best regards. Then finish by saying your call sign. If you happen to be wanting to operate at the very bottom of the 6-meter, 2-meter, and 1.25 meter bands, please beware that the first 100 kilohertz of these bands is reserved specifically for Morse code use.
You cannot take your FMHT and dial it down to 144.055 megahertz and whistle the code into your microphone and expect that you are operating Morse code.
You would actually be operating what they call FMMCW, modulated CW, which is quite different and not allowed between 144.0 and 144.1. To operate legally in these restricted subbands, you need an all-mode transceiver with a CW mode position. CW, or Morse code signals, are very narrow on the dial. They also are able to detect when most other modes would not make it. CW is the preferred mode by those wishing to take advantage of signal reflection during a meteor shower or an aurora. Years ago, hams came up with a set of abbreviations called Q signals in order to save time when communicating in Morse code.
Typical Q signals are 3 letters long. The text has a listing of the most common Q signals on page 4-4. The test will ask you for just a few, QRM and QSY, thank heavens. There are a host of other Q signals that you'll just plain need to know to understand typical ham jargon.
While the Q signals are really only supposed to be used on CW, most hams have just integrated them into their vocabulary and use them on voice with impunity. While this is not good amateur operating practice, it's reality.
QSO, as John mentioned earlier, is the abbreviation for a conversation amongst two or more hams.
QSL is an acknowledgement that you received what I said correctly. It's also the name of a little postcard hams sometimes send to each other as a written confirmation of their contact. These are often essential proof of contact when you want to get an award or special recognition.
QSY means to change frequency.
QRT means to sign off for the contact, very much like 6-2 and even, over and out.
QTH refers to your location.
QRZ is an abbreviation for Is Someone Calling Me? Of course, you already know about CQ to announce that you want to talk to any other station.
Of course, 73 is for Best Regards.
And DE is for This Is.
So when I sign my email, I'll often sign an email to another ham as 73DE Mike.
That's right, and it originates from French. Hams also have a whole abbreviation scheme for giving a signal report. The signal report abbreviation scheme is called the RST system, which stands for Readability, Strength, and Tone.
You've undoubtedly heard someone on the radio, you're 5x9, or something like that. It's the RS part of the RST system.
The T, or the tone portion of RST, only pertains to people operating CW, as it describes how nicely the tone of your Morse code CW wave is coming through. Tones of less than 9 usually mean that there's something wrong with your transmitter. A good strong signal on CW with good readability and normal sound to the tone would be given an RST of 599.
In your book, on page 4-3, is a table showing suggested meanings for various signal reports one might give or receive during or using the RST system.
By the way, when you are operating on FM, most people don't give reports using the RS or RST system. The reports are given as a percentage of quieting in their receiver or in the receiver of the repeater. On FM, a very weak signal has the same actual audio level as a strong signal. The exception is that there's tons more background hiss noise mixed in with it. As a signal on FM gets stronger, the person's audio stays the same, but the background noise gets lower and lower until there is no background noise.
Except for the kids or the dog barking in the back seat. Well, the kids wouldn't be barking, I guess.
Well, it depends on your kids. Needless to say, when your FM signal has reached the point where there's no background noise, you have attained a full quieting signal.
And some people add the word dead in front of it for dead full quieting, or DFQ.
This must be the influence of the goths on our hobby.
Yeah, could be.
Well, while we're talking about FM, the usual bandwidth of an FM voice transmission is between 5 and 15 kilohertz. That's much, much wider than the bandwidth used for voice SSB transmission, which is between 2 and 3 kHz.
And also remember, when you're transmitting on FM, the transmitter puts out full power the whole time you have it in transmit mode, even during the pauses in your speech.
It's very, very wasteful compared to SSB in both power and bandwidth, and even more so than Morse code. CW, by the way, is the narrowest of them all. Conventional fast scan amateur television is the real bandwidth hog at 6 MHz in width.
Yeah, you definitely got that right.
Well, if you're operating on FM, either simplex or through a repeater, you follow many, but not all of the operating procedures that are used on single sideband. If you want to break into an existing conversation, you just wait for a pause and say your call sign once.
If you want to call another particular station, you give their call sign, then your own call sign. Your own call sign is generally given last.